Hello world, my name is Don and you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, June the 12th, 2022. Tonight is Sunday night and that of course means this is our Sunday show, which means weird headlines and your live chat comments. Thanks so much for tuning in live and don't forget to hit the like button and subscription bell at the bottom of this video. And as always, if you're with me live here on YouTube or on Instagram at Weekend Showcase, feel free to drop a line in the live chat and I might read it off on the air. So let's go ahead and get rolling with the first item on the docket for this week, which is, where is it? Oh, shoot, darn it. Give me this thing here, resources. I forgot to have the tab up. All right, here we go. Again, this is part of why we were a little bit behind schedule, technology kind of doing a bunch of stuff here. All right, let's get started. So first item is from the Mirror. Man builds mini cinema with popcorn stand and posters, but it's for squirrels. Okay, I guess it's not the, well, you know what? Never mind, I'm not gonna use that punchline, never mind. let's see, this is from the Mirror, like I said, posted June 10. A man built a mini cinema for wild squirrels complete with handmade promotional posters, a concession stand, and a movie screen. Jason Lindsay created the miniature movie theater after realizing squirrels would never get to experience a real life cinema. The poor things. Footage shows 30-year-old Jason, who works in video production, naturally, built the entire theater from scratch in 2 months at a cost of about £480. Nice. He used an old tablet playing its own squirrel movie as a screen and built a miniature concession stand and filled it with treats. Jason added LED strip lights for ambiance, popcorn bowls filled with squirrel-friendly treats, and finished it off with handmade movie promotional posters. Look at this. Look at the marquee on the top here, now playing Revenge of the Squirrels. Obviously, this guy has got to be a Star Wars fan, really hardcore to have thought of that. This is the interior of it. wow. Okay. What are those, blackberries in the little thing there, in the individual cups? Jeez. Okay. I mean, that's one way to recycle old electronics. I guess that's one positive way to look at this. I'm not sure, like, under what other conditions something like this could possibly be construed as productive. I mean, are notoriously short attention span having, right? So you're expecting them to stick around long enough to see anything longer than maybe 10 seconds? You know, it's like, I don't know. Maybe this is just me thinking into it too far, but whatever. Let's see. He also installed four cameras inside to monitor the activity of the squirrels and positioned the theater in his large forest back garden. He said, quote, I thought this would be a perfect project to challenge myself and my building skills, as well as do something fun with my time. Well, there you go. It made it into international press. So apparently at least got some views. And thanks to this show, got one more. So there you go. that was the squirrel-sized movie theater from the Mirror. Again, we're doing weird news headlines tonight right here on Weekend Showcase on YouTube and also on Instagram live at Weekend Showcase. Thanks so much for tuning in. Once again, don't forget to smash that like button and subscription bell as we move on to topic number two. This is from the New York Post. The world's first double arm transplant. Wow. Okay, let's take a look here. This was posted on, let me see, I'm trying to find the date here, the 10th, 2 days ago. Shortly after his daughter was born in 1998, then electrician Felix Gitarsson got electrocuted on the job in Iceland, causing doctors to amputate his arms. Oh my God. Now he's able to hug his daughter and grandkids again, thanks to the world's first double arm transplant. After 5 years of waiting for the right donor, Gitarsson, now 49, received the daunting 15-hour operation in France in 2021. Wow. I can, you know, I've seen like some really bizarre and uncomfortable medical stories like this before about, you know, work hazards, especially workplace hazards. Like I've heard stories about people going through like severe electrocutions, usually from, yeah, stuff like this, like an electrician injured on the job or some freak of nature accident, like getting struck by lightning and just the severe physical trauma and nerve damage that can happen. I've never heard of something like this happening where like you've lost both arms as a result of what it is. That's, wow. He has surpassed every medical expectation throughout his recovery. Gitarsson can now walk his dog, brush his teeth, and give high fives, as demonstrated when he met Iceland's president. Wow. He says, quote, I have feelings in every finger and hand, end quote. Of course, recovery has been a complicated one. Wow. Yeah, you can see the stitch lines. You can see the stitch lines pass, like, on and past the rotator cuff in both shoulders. Wow. Wow. 15-hour operation to get that put in. That's amazing that you survived that. I've heard of somebody having to go through a whole face transplant, which is still like the tops for me as far as basically, holy crap, I can't believe that actually happened. But double arm transplant, that's a straight up medical miracle right there. Let's see. This is him talking again, quote, it's super challenging and frustrating as hell, constantly trying to do something and the muscles don't move, but the reward is incredible when all of a sudden these movements start to manifest. It's not fully developed. I was sweeping around the pool the other day and I didn't realize when I got blisters until I saw the blood. The nerves are connected here somewhere under the collarbone. The nerves, they kind of grow inside these tubes. So they connect my tubes to the donor's tubes and the nerve inside the donor's arm. They just dissipate with time. And then mine start to grow inside there, end quote. Okay, so yeah, it's a standard donor procedure, basically, it looks like, of having everything very intricately connected inside. And then over time, the donor tissue and everything that had to get grafted together organically sort of fuses in to the host tissue and everything. I obviously have no medical training. This is just my best guess at how to correctly describe this above and beyond the quote, but yeah. It's just, man, what a miracle. More power to him. All right, let's move on to the next topic. We have a few more. Let's see here if I can get this to load up properly. Come on. Come on. Give me the resources. Thank you. All right, next topic. Geez, the browser is being a little slow tonight. All right, so next topic is from The Independent. Fantastic giant tortoise believed extinct for a century found alive in Galapagos. Okay, let's take a closer look. This is from The Independent. It's based out of the UK, published 3 days ago. Oh no, come on. Oh no. This is one of those, okay. So for the audio podcast audience, what's happening is this topic is visible, but it's one of those things where it gives a prompt to register to continue reading. Apparently in our research, it didn't go far down enough to notice that we can't read the entire story on air without doing this complicated registration process that we can't do live on the air. So I guess we can do these first two sentences. A giant tortoise that was long believed extinct has been confirmed alive on the Galapagos Islands in an extraordinary discovery. The tortoise, named Fernanda after her Fernandina Island home, is the first of her species identified in more than a century. Fascinating, especially for people who like weird animal news. So there you go. Unfortunately, that's where the story cuts off because I do not have an account with Independent to be able to continue reading, but we have the direct link to this story in the description down below at the bottom of this video. So if you're inclined to go and visit the source page and, you know, do the whole registration process for the entire story, that's where you go in the description down below. Let's move on to the next topic. This is from USA Today, it looks like. AI art, artificial intelligence art. Okay, here we go. Dolly Mini, DALL-E. This looks like a Pixar reference. Wall-E, right? Dolly. It's kind of spelled similar. The AI image generator everyone's using to make weird photos and wild memes explained. Okay. Artificial intelligence painting and images have truly become a thing in recent years, and now we're seeing a bunch of AI paintings everywhere on social media. They're coming from one specific site that people have started using, known as Dolly Mini. So let's break this all down and explain what those images in the site are all about. It's an image generator that uses artificial intelligence to make photos based on the text you type in. So, okay, so you could literally type in Charles Barkley at the Masters, and it might generally paint a bunch of photos of the Hall of Famer hitting golf balls at Augusta. Okay, so basically this program does the hard work of finding fodder for Google image search results that you're looking for and sort of cobbling them together into a coherent image that becomes memeable basically by default. Like, it sort of does the hard work of figuring out how to present the context that you're giving it. That's always good to see that it's that AI can be used in a way that's not overwhelmingly creepy on the surface after the last couple weeks of AI related topics that we've been getting about AI sort of having a rather dangerous potential for flying off the handle with sentience and stuff like that Tesla bot topic that we were talking about last Sunday, you might recall. Let's see. We don't have any sample issues that are popping up here in this particular browser window that I have up here, but all these Twitter photo link sources are on the original image, which, like the last story, or the original news article source is what I meant to say, which, like the last topic, the link to this page is in the description down below if you're so inclined to do further research on that. But this is one place to start. You can clearly see this at the top of this particular image here, providing a sample of the program in action. User types in Meowth at Disneyland, Meowth from Pokemon, famously. And I guess there's a bunch of images here of the character in different sort of, I guess, costume or plush forms, and just with Disneyland foliage or iconography, like that looks like one of the like Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella castles or something in the distance in the background of these other two pictures on the right. But you can sort of tell how completely sort of cobbled together these images are. All these Meows don't quite look right. This one in the upper right looks like a traumatized sort of like snail mutation experiment that went through the telepods from The Fly. And it's like, I don't even know where to begin with trying to describe that accurately as anything remotely near Meowth. Most of these seem fairly close. If you were just to, like, I could imagine an artificial intelligence producing that image, especially this thing in the center seems closest enough, I guess, to what is being searched for here. But man, I don't remember Meowth having quite that many arms. This thing in the center has clearly four arms. I don't know what that's all about. Ugh, it's kind of the stuff for nightmare fuel, quite frankly. But anyway, all right, let's move on. CBSnews.com talking about a strange creature seen outside a Texas zoo. The city of Amarillo wants to know. Amarillo? Amarillo. I think it's Amarillo. Sorry. Let's take a look. So there's no picture being provided in here, but whatever. We have another picture in the back in that source list that I pulled from, so I can go ahead and zoom in on that in a moment. Officials in the city of Amarillo, Texas, on Wednesday asked for help regarding a peculiar problem, identifying a strange human-like animal that was seen outside a local zoo last month. The city shared a photo of the creature on social media and said it was taken in the early morning hours of May 21st outside the Amarillo Zoo. The city wrote, quote, "Is it a person with a strange hat who likes to walk at night? A chupacabra? Do you have any ideas of what this UAO, unidentified Amarillo object, could be?" End quote. Okay, so the photo in question, here we go, let me try and zoom in here. So the photo in question seems to be this thing. I don't know. This looks like some sort of like a meerkat or a lemur or something, like walking upright, I guess. Really, really tall, uncharacteristically tall of the species, just using the chained fence in the foreground for the purposes of size comparison. I'm not really sure what else to really make of this personally. Like this looks like somebody, like, I don't know, bundled up in something or like dragging something like on their shoulder. So it looks like a fur coat possibly. I don't know, but that is one of those things, like, I don't know. Is there a cryptozoologist in the house? I don't know how else to really sort of consider that. Members of the zoo were casually looking at footage from game cameras placed throughout it when they came across the photo, according to Michael Kashuba, the Parks and Recreation Department director for the city of Amarillo. He told CBS News on Thursday that the cameras only take photos, and the now famous picture overlooks an open area of the park right outside the zoo that doesn't receive heavy traffic. He said a staff member had sent in the image, and after conferring with other coworkers, they reached a consensus, quote, "Nobody could figure out what it was," end quote. Okay, well, there's the picture again that they were talking about. What do you think this thing is that was lurking around outside of this chain link fence in Amarillo within the last few days? Hey, post a comment down below if you got any guesses, and we might share it on the show next week as a callback reference to what we're talking about tonight. So let's move on. Rise of the Machines. This is from sciencenews.org. Let me close out of the other tab here. Here we go. Okay, so this is from Science News, posted on tonight, 3 days ago, June 9th. Scientists grew living human skin around a robotic figure. And then the subheading, the subheading says the advance brings Terminator-like cyborgs a small step closer to reality. Thanks very much. Thank you, Science News, for reactivating that problem. This nightmare fodder in the foreground of my brain. Yep, you can see very clearly what looks like a human finger with these little like creases in between like each third of the finger. You can see very clearly like what looks like that and the beginnings of fingernail tissue on the tip, on the top tip portion, basically. I guess is where the nail would go. But yeah, this is a... And then the context at the bottom of the image says, living human skin covering a robotic finger can bend with the finger and self-heal. Okay, we have synthetic skin that can self-heal. That is straight up 1984. That is straight up Terminator 1. I am semi-traumatized right now upon reading that. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have built a robotic finger that, much like Arnold Schwarzenegger's titular cyborg assassin, there you go, is covered in living human skin. The goal is to someday build robots that look like real people, albeit for more altruistic applications. Yes, of course they would say that. Of course. Nobody's going to actually publicize that we're intending to build killer robots. Nobody would actually put that out like that. Anyway, super realistic looking robots could more seamlessly interact with humans in medical care and service industries, say biohybrid engineer Shoji Takeuchi. T-A-K-E-U-C-H-I. I'm sorry, I'm trying to pronounce that as best I can. Shoji Takeuchi and his colleagues on June 9th in Matter. Whether cyborgs' mass and living tissue would be more congenial or creepy is probably in the eye of the beholder. Creepy? Creepy. Without hesitation or batting an eye. That's creepy. There's a line. There is an implicit line of relatability, that physical relatability, I should say, that robots... synthetic life should not cross. It's bad enough that you can actually engage in conversations with, you know, Alexa devices, let's say, or if you have artificial intelligence friends, that like there are some apps I've been seeing like circulating around recently. You can actually like have friends, you can have whole relationships with some of these apps. They're really creepy. And now you're going to go ahead and give them a physical, corporeal form and relatable, recognizable, like human features that are registrable as like appearing human. It's like, what is human anymore? This is far above and beyond what I would ordinarily expect to see in a Westworld plotline, quite frankly. It looks like we have somebody else on the Zoom call right now. Alonzo, is that you?
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey. Good to see you. Hear you. I guess your camera's still out right now.
Yeah. I'm not going to turn my camera on because it'll look like too much of a distraction.
Fair.
Ringing on my phone. I think I got a preset account already from like college. But yeah, I tuned in right before it ended.
Cool. Yeah, good timing. I was just about to get to the last one that I was hoping you would be here to help discuss. But yeah, this is the last one that I was going to go ahead and bring up before then. This is from sciencenews.org from 3 days ago. Scientists grew living human skin around a robotic finger. Apparently this is, and the skin can self-heal, by the way, I'm just now seeing. So what are your thoughts on that?
How?
Well, I was just saying that the goal is to someday build robots that look like real people for more altruistic applications, is what the story said.
Terminators.
T-800
infiltration unit.
Already went there. Super realistic looking robots could more seamlessly interact with humans in medical care and service industries. Here we go. Here's the new part. I hadn't gotten to this yet. To cover the finger in skin, Takeuchi and his colleagues submerged the robotic digit in a blend of collagen and human skin cells called dermal fibroblasts. The mixture settled into a base layer of skin or dermis covering the finger. The team then poured a liquid containing human keratinocyte cells onto the finger, which formed an outer skin layer.
Yes, keratinian cells, of course.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Right, uh-huh.
I know this is like intense stuff. I've only like been vaguely familiarized with some of this terminology from like a couple of biology courses I had back in undergrad and college, but
They call it the T-800, Skynet's most valuable infiltration unit. Blah, blah, blah. I forgot the monologue that Kyle Reese says, but
Michael Biehn from the original movie, right?
he's not a man.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he
something,
doesn't
something.
st he doesn't sleep, he doesn't eat, it doesn't
That's it.
stop.
That's it.
Yeah, there it is. After 2 weeks, skin covering the finger measured a few millimeters thick, comparable to the thickness of a human skin. The lab-made skin was strong and stretchy enough to withstand the robotic finger bending. It could also heal itself. When researchers made a small cut on the robotic finger and covered it with a collagen bandage, the skin's fibroblast cells merged the bandage with the rest of the skin within a week. Okay, now I will give this thing some credit as far as the premise being suggested. This technology has medical applications, theoretically. Like,
Sure.
if you how do I put this? Depending on what sensors that you build into the finger, like I don't know if you, however often you go to, say, a general practitioner, to get your physical checkup every year, right? And they pull out the stethoscope and they like put it on your chest and it's really, really cold, right? Okay, so what if they had sensors built into like fingertips for one of these things, right? And so, and but the metal is like self-warming, basically. So like the metals, the heat from the finger passes through the synthetic skin, and so it feels like skin-to-skin contact, but it's actually warm. It feels like warm skin instead of cold metal on your chest when like measuring your heartbeat. So like, do you hear where I'm coming from? Like, could that possibly be a tolerable sort of application of this?
Dude, you're asking me, man. You mentioned the sensors. I guess in my head it does make more sense that that should be like the most important thing, because what's having like something or anything prosthetic if you can't feel anything? So don't know, man. This is strange. I wasn't expecting to be hit with such a very intricate question off the bat.
I mean, what can I tell you? It's Sunday night. You kind of knew what kind of topics we were going to be talking about tonight, to be fair. So, right.
Did you already go over the one with the man who got like two arms transplanted?
Yes, we already went over that. Did you have some more thoughts on that, or do you want to do a solo thing on that later?
No, I just thought I was wondering if the two were connected of any
No.
sorts.
No, this is a different thing. The donor tissue, the donor arms were biological, as far as I could tell. They weren't synthetic or stuff like that. Like they actually had to sort of connect, nerve endings and blood vessels. It's a really intricate 15-hour procedure that did that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But back to this thing. It's being treated as a important step forward in the field. Let's see. Here we go. Last paragraph. A robot can't wear this lab-grown skin out and about just yet. The skin-covered robotic finger spent most of its time soaking in sugar, amino acids, and other ingredients that skin cells need to survive. A Terminator or other cyborg wearing this skin would have to bathe often in a broth of nutrients or use some other complex skincare routine. I'm sure Kylie Jenner would be happy to sell it some. Is my response to that. Yeah, so there you go. Robotic finger. Self-healing human skin. Check, please. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, well, actually, hang on. We have a couple of comments here. At Desert Kingdom says, Rise of the Machines, pretty much.
Yep. Judgment Day.
Brain Spaz says, They'll look human. 100% humans will be obsolete. Shock face emoji. Yeah, depending on who you talk to, that sort of thing is inevitable. I mean, it's one of those things that it looks good on paper as a thing to accentuate or enhance human existence, but it just feels like for whatever reason, all of those cautionary tales we've been getting in movies and books and television for decades, they just go right out the other ear. We just
Yeah.
so lose sight of the harm and the risk involved with this level of synthetic realism. I mean, what is we've almost gone from what is human to what is life, especially when you factor in this kind of technology with all these advancements we've been getting in artificial intelligence. If you put peanut butter and chocolate together, It's like the Reese's cup to end all Reese's cups. I don't know.
It's one hell of a metaphor.
Hopefully, there's still time. There's still time to pump the brakes on this somewhat.
Moving on.
I'm going to put those positive vibes out there, if possible. Hey, let's move on. We have something that you actually suggested, Alonzo. So I'm glad you're here to help us talk about it. This is our last topic for the week, I think. Yeah. So this is from comicbook.com. Here we go. Berserk details its manga comeback in emotional letter. Berserk has kept quiet since its creator Kentaro Miura passed away last year, but the franchise, where is it? The franchise won't stand by the side forever. Okay. Earlier today, this was posted on June 7th. The editorial team at Young Animal confirmed plans to continue the manga using materials left behind by its creator. Yeah, Alonzo, you want to go ahead and take it from here?
Yeah, actually, I want to get your reaction as we unfold this. So, what do you know about Berserk?
Very little, like nothing. What is Berserk? Very, Why very is little. This important?
So I've never, so I am very new to it as well, but I've known of its cultural impact, I think, for years. I think.
Say again, very new to it.
Oh, sorry. Did I go off?
Yeah.
I'm very new to it, but, I've known about its impact since like, I want to say like mid high school for me, which was probably like, I want to say a decade ago, maybe like a little less than that. And I remember hearing all about it when the Dark Souls series was at its peak, but I think people really like it. So the Berserk is a massive story. All right. It's huge. Apparently it's like an overarching story of the life of one person. And this one person, you know, from literal birth has gone through every single form of trauma ever. Right. And the story is set in the, it's set in like, the age of knights and armor and barbarism and all that stuff. And at one point the story becomes sincere because the main character Guts, who is literally a child born from nothing but pain, ends up finding an unlikely home amongst some strangers. It's very Guardians of the Galaxy if I were to just pitch the first part to you. And basically really? Him Yeah. And basically, the antagonist of the story is also his best friend in the very first 3/4 of the story. And he makes a deal with the devil. He ends up becoming a lord of, you know, like darkness. And the whole story, I think, thrives, or at least it thrives to most people, is because it ends up becoming a revenge arc. Like the whole story is just revenge. It's like Guts seeking revenge on his best friend. For turning on us, for doing like the ultimate betrayal, et cetera, et cetera. There's just so much ground to cover, man. But I will say, probably because you know this better than anyone, I'm not an anime watcher. But, dude, I watched Berserk. It's free on YouTube, actually. It's pretty nuts. I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty intense. It's pretty dark. It's kind of hard to watch sometimes. But it's got such a potent story in there, you know. It's also a very simple story. It's very Kill Bill, if I were to kind of pitch it to you. It's a Kill Bill with Mad Max and Dark Souls. And it's woven into a very intricate story, very personal story. But anyways.
Sounds like it would be a fascinating story to adapt, like in live action.
Very. Dude, absolutely. And but you know, the author died in the middle of writing the story, and that's when everyone was like, at this point it's like, dude, there's no more continuation, right? Because I guess he was putting it out like really, really slowly in his own time, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then
so people were already fed up.
Right, and then his best friend sort of picked up the license or sort of like his like unfinished notes on it.
Yeah,
and then
so
it's sort of like carrying
so flash forward to now. Now it's been like 2 years. No, like a year, right? It's been like a year since his death, his passing. And this is recent news. Like his best friend just put this out this week. So his best friend put it out that, you know, before he died, he told me the ending to Berserk, and that already is a really big that already was a really big deal, man. I'm not gonna lie. And I me, you know, again, me barely knowing the impact of Berserk, I understand how important that is. You know what I mean? So, I guess for the past year, I guess all the hardcore Berserk fans were just living and coping with the idea that they were never gonna know the full ending, like from like full grace, you know what I mean? From like the full idea of it. But I guess that's not the case. We know the ending. Someone does, and they're gonna adapt it to its very best potential. And that's crazy.
But hang on a second. Let's step through this last thing very carefully here as we sort of like run the clock out here. What, given that we know that actual closure is coming and it's as close to creator sanctioned closing as is possible to get, given that the original author has died, Alonzo, what are your thoughts on just the fact that this is being continued right here through what is ostensibly an authorized third party? Should they have stopped the story on the original creator's deathbed, or are you glad on a personal level that this is the story is actually getting a proper conclusion, you know?
Glad on a personal level, mainly because I get happy when things like the Snyder Cut become a thing, and I feel like this is one of those rare cases in a franchise where this will
Zack Snyder's
never
still very
happen.
much alive. That's a false equivalency, man.
Right. Like it's still alive, but what I'm saying is like the full idea of the project is being realized. You know what I mean?
All
Like
right, yeah.
through very intricate business means, the full project is being realized. And that in itself is very, very exciting to me, especially because now it's getting me a normal pleb like I interested in what Berserk even is, you know? And I'm not gonna lie with it. Like I don't read manga. It's manga, and then there's a term called mangaka. I don't know which one is which, but anyways, like you feel me. You feel me. Like I'm new to this, just as new as you are or anybody else watching the show. But man, Berserk is nuts. Berserk is crazy.
Cool. Well, thank you for the insight and the opinions there. This is
Yeah.
really
Oh,
interesting sort
I think the other thing that's breaking the news about this,
Okay.
the next chapter that's been on halt for like a year and a half is coming out in like a week and a half. So
Okay.
that's really exciting. Like the next chapter to Berserk is like not even 2 weeks away.
Do you
So
already have
I feel
your
like,
do you have your fan predictions already in hand, or are you just completely just
dude,
along for the ride?
I don't even know the story up. I'm gonna have to watch a YouTube like recap, because I think I'm with everyone in saying that I'm at least curious to read that chapter alone, and then maybe read the chapters before it, and then see if there's like a stark difference. I don't think there will be, but I'm really interested to see, you know. And I think once they're done this chapter, then the next one, like the final one, is like probably the one that everyone's gonna like, you know, like read and stay in tune for.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I probably, hang on, I'm trying to look through comments and stuff right now. Yeah, there's not very much happening on that front right now, unfortunately, but whatever. But yeah, it's I think, man, if you find a good resource, maybe like if you could like pass that along, like we can go ahead and add that into the description as well as sort of like an appendix to this particular resource. That we're using to talk about this topic, maybe as like an entry point, basically for people to go ahead and begin looking into this if so inclined, because like this is it can be really easy based on that kind of description, like it can be really easy to sort of lose yourself in the lore of this. And now with new content about to drop, you know, and effectively the beginning of the end to what seems like a really amazing story, you know, it's this seems like one of those things that it's really important to make sure you have the right sort of entry point and the right sort of understanding of what you're actually going to be investing your time and emotional energy into, like going into it. You know.
I think the cool thing about these animes and these mangas, I'm just gonna sum them up as stories personally, because I like all forms of medium, sure they're different, but like, you know, a good story is a good story. But the thing about this is that these parts are so big, dude. Like so long. A part is just a movie. You know when you hear anime people go, "Oh, part one was better than part." But when they say part, I'm starting to understand that it's just like a synonym slang for movie in a way. These parts are big, dude. Like part one Berserk, perfect alone. I'm sure the other parts are just as good. Part one, it's a movie. That's what a lot of these things are. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know how many viewers are watching who are into anime, not into anime, but the ones who aren't into anime, I'm speaking to you. Like this thing's pretty good.
I think
It's fun.
another entity to speak to would be honestly probably Netflix. Hey, if y'all are listening, right?
Yeah, dude. They definitely need it. I don't know if I'd want Berserk made by Netflix. If anything, I think
Oh, you're still
I'm being
sour on
honest with
Cowboy
you.
Bebop?
Berserk is an HBO level production.
Okay. Why do you say that?
It's a very personal story, but even when I say that, like I keep throwing the word out personal, I feel like maybe the first thing that comes to mind is, like very in-depth, like a lot of characters talking to characters, or maybe one person talking to a bunch of other people. But it's a blockbuster level of action, dude. It's pretty intense sometimes. It's really intense. Also, some of the stuff, like some of the torture that this guy goes through, I feel like it would be at home represented on HBO.
I don't know. Like,
If
I've
that
seen
makes
some pretty
sense.
intense. I hear where you're coming from. I was just going to say, I've seen some pretty intense stuff come out from Amazon Prime Studios as well.
Oh yeah, Amazon Prime Studios does it really, really well, actually. Like I'd be okay if they did like a rendition of something. But dude, everything else, oh, dude, Berserk is nuts.
It's so crazy that it basically made Alonzo channel Santa Claus just now. So that tells you
It's
everything you need to
insane.
know
It's
right now.
insane.
Have yourself a merry little fandom.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap this up here. It is about 10 minutes till the top of the hour. We may as well start to shut this down. We're out of topics for this week, unfortunately. But you know what? Thank you, those of you at home, for tuning in and joining us for the last hour of Weird News Headlines right here on YouTube and live on Instagram at Weekend Showcase. Oh, geez, forgot to put this screen back on. Darn it. At Weekend Showcase, where we are active on pretty much all the major, we have presences on all the major social media platforms. We need to, you know what, Alonzo, we need to get back in the swing of things on TikTok at some point.
Yeah, we had a banger like months ago or a month and a half ago, and then we kind of let it to rest. But we have a lot of cool things coming up for you guys in terms of direction for everyone and everything in the channel, at least for the next couple of long-term, segments or quarters in our lifespan. So we have a lot of cool things coming up. So it's going to be exciting, but
Yeah, and so you're definitely going to want to make sure that you're following us on wherever your major social media platforms are. As I was saying, we're at Weekend Showcase pretty much everywhere. If you have any topics that you'd like to see us cover in weird news or trailers you want to see us react to on Friday nights, drop us a DM, ideally at Instagram or Twitter at Weekend Showcase, and we might bring it up on the show and give you source credit on that. So thanks so much for doing that in advance. And we hope to see you again here this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific for yet another trailer reaction show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you, Alonzo, for joining me. Hope you have a good hope you had a good weekend.
of course.
Cool. And I guess that's basically it. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Don Shannon.
I'm
Alonzo?
Don Shannon.
No. You have to do your name. I'm Don Shannon.
I'm also Don Shannon.
No, you can't be. I'm Don Shannon. You can't.
I'm Alonzo.
Okay, thank you. Jeez, God. Almost threw me to an existential crisis live on television, on like YouTube. Why did you do that?
Live on
Honestly.
the air.
Exactly. Jeez. Anyway, all right. Hope you had a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.
Showcase you.